Community workers say that rehabilitation is a crucial part of addressing Hawaii's crisis of homelessness. That means not only dealing with housing, but with medical care. That's where the Hawaii Homeless Healthcare HUI comes in. The group, known as H4, currently operates outreach centers in Honolulu's Chinatown and in Kaneohe. It's also planning a facility in Honolulu's Iwalei neighborhood, facing one of the highest concentrations of homelessness in the state. Dr. Scott Miskovich is one of the founders of H4. He helped design the concept of the facility, which he explained to the conversation's Harrison Patino.
We looked at the overall evaluation of what is causing our homeless issue here in the state. And of course, you know, we've had a lot of discussion about permanent supportive housing and housing first, which is one of the goals. But the big issue that we found when we looked at the fact that now our unsheltered homeless since 2012 have increased almost 82%. A lot of that we've looked down to find that it's due to a lot of addiction and mental illness, and also what we call dual diagnosis, where people are dealing with both. And we felt that that is a medical issue much more than it is a pure social issue. So the concept of having the medical community come together and bring many trained professionals. So we're talking psychiatrists, addiction psychiatrists, psychologists, physicians, social workers, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, specialists, including wound care specialists. There's so many complex problems that we decided that the only way we were going to really affect this high-end population that were literally dying in the streets, we're finding that one person a week is dying from the homeless population in our streets in Hawaii, that the only way we were going to make a real dent in that group and try to change their lives is by creating a facility like the H4 Iwalei facility.
That kind of comprehensive approach is critical. Individuals struggling with homelessness are a fluid demographic, and diagnosing health problems with a broad brush can ignore serious, more nuanced medical issues like schizophrenia. Miskovich favors a case-by-case approach.
The issue we have is you cannot classify all homeless in one group. And, you know, I think housing first and finding permanent supportive housing for individuals that are families or newly homeless or people that, you know, just had financial issues, those are easy and have to be dealt with housing first. And that's an immediate answer. But the other issue is there's statistics and there's medical data that shows once someone is homeless for more than 6 months, they have basically changed into almost a whole different individual from a psychological standpoint. Like if you're a woman and you're in the homeless community and you're living in the streets for more than 6 months, the likelihood is you're going to have suffered from sexual abuse. The likelihood you're going to have PTSD. The likelihood is you're going to have domestic abuse. And it's challenging to just not address those issues. So I think we believe that ultimately everyone has to be put through the housing first process. But to be successfully housed, we need to have a large portion of these people first have their medical issues addressed or at the same time have their medical issues addressed.
Miskovich hopes the H4 facilities can address serious medical and psychological issues first so that homeless individuals can more easily transition into housing. It's a belief shared by Pam Woody Oakland, director of the Department of Community Services.
Homelessness alone is not just about housing. It requires health care and housing together to address the needs of the persons who are living on our streets today. When we first introduced as an administration the Housing First program, Housing First brings housing to that individual first because it's very difficult to get well on a street and wraps around the supportive services that that individual needs to get well. And over time, we've realized that most of those who've wanted to get into housing, we've been able to help the vast majority of them. Those who are still on the streets are those who are experiencing a higher acuity or more severe mental illness or much more substance abuse problems, and they need health care on the street in order to get them to the point where they're willing to accept the housing and wraparound services.
Woody Oakland says that homeless individuals are more receptive to short-term housing solutions when treated on a case-by-case basis. This begins to overlap with the Housing First approach that was long seen by the state as the definitive approach to fighting homelessness.
So Housing First is a philosophy, and it's the opposite of Clean and Sober First. Housing First is also the name of the program. And so we provide that individual with two components. One is rental subsidy to get them off the street and into a housing unit, and as well case management for all kinds of supported services. It could be simple case management, training on life skills, but in most of these cases, it includes substance abuse treatment and other health care needs. 10 years ago, we were only funded with some federal dollars, and it was the clean and sober model. 5 years ago, the city started funding their own programs focused on Housing First. And we've now, besides the Housing First housing vouchers and wraparound services, we actually operate a hygiene center for those experiencing homelessness. We operate a facility on Sand Island called Hali Maliola, and that is a very low barrier shelter. So straight from the street, folks can come in. They can come as a couple. They can come with pets. And again, we just provide housing and case management and wraparound services. They're welcome to stay there for an extended period of time, but the goal really is to find a suitable shelter and programs to get them well and to that next step. In addition to the housing piece, we've recognized that healthcare is a very vital component of addressing persons experiencing homelessness. And so along those lines, we've acquired a building in Ivalé with multi-stories and multi-programs. The ground floor is a hygiene center. The next level is going to be an urgent care clinic, and the top two levels provide housing. And so we're realizing the importance of marrying the two, healthcare and housing, together. And while healthcare is primarily a function of the state, we don't have a city department of health, we're able to take city resources like buildings and contract with providers that deliver the healthcare programs in order to be able to do both.
The Ivalé facility will also offer medical services to homeless individuals who might otherwise wind up in Hawaii's already crowded emergency rooms for non-emergency issues. Jim Howe, the director of emergency services, says that the Ivalé H4 facility will help provide appropriate care to appropriate circumstances, while freeing up first responders to cater to true emergencies like heart attacks or strokes.
I think the first and foremost is to understand that our 911 system and our EMS system here doesn't differentiate by a person's address or their age or their circumstances. If you need help, you call and we will deliver that help to the best of our ability within the confines of our capabilities and also the timeframes that we're required to respond to. One of the key elements to understanding an emergency medical response system is that, in effect, here in the state of Hawaii, every time you call for an ambulance, you are essentially having the emergency room delivered to your door, wherever your door may be. It's a very, very high level of care. We're very fortunate here in the state that we have this very high level of care available to us when we need help. But the system is primarily geared and structured for true medical emergencies, things like strokes or heart attacks or major trauma. We don't differentiate the call, the personnel and the equipment and who we send based on your medical need currently. So you will get the same level of response if you're having a stroke or if you've sprained your ankle. The outreach centers really provide a resource in our medical system that we really think is going to have a very beneficial impact. So similar to maybe a family that has insurance, you make an appointment to go to the doctor, you can get there with you can drive there, you can make that appointment. You can get routine medical care or scheduled medical care. Folks who don't have that capability have been using the 911 system and the emergency room as their primary medical provider, regardless of what their issue is. And this is not just here in Hawaii, this is across the nation. Folks who don't have certain parts of their life in place, not only does this system become a method of transportation to the emergency room, but the emergency rooms themselves become one of the few places that they can actually go and have sort of a community there. So it's become much more than just medical care delivery, it's become social care delivery as well.
While the planned Ivalé facility will cater primarily to homeless individuals, its clinical facilities will offer as comprehensive as what is available in a typical emergency room. Howe says that the Joint Outreach Center will be regulated and inspected to the same standards of any emergency room in the country. This way, Hawaii Homeless Healthcare, Hui, believes it can offer medical and social care, hand in hand. For The Conversation, I'm Harrison Patino.
That was Dr. Scott Miskovich, Pamela Witte Oakland, and Jim Howe talking with HPR's Harrison Patino. It was a conversation about H4, the Hawaii Homeless Healthcare Hui Clinics on the island of Oahu.